It is the 31st day of October 2012. This is Illinois Public Media. On the phone line with us to take a look at the futures markets is Jackie Bakes, as usual, here for the closing market report. Good afternoon to you, Jackie, from Stuart Peterson.
Good afternoon, Ted.
Well, a couple of things we probably ought to look into. First, crop progress numbers are due out shortly or maybe already out.
No, I was wrong on that, Ted. They're not going to be out until 3 o'clock Central.
Oh, that you know what? I should have told you that. I knew better. I knew better that it would be 3 o'clock Central. And I was just thinking 3 o'clock and looked at our clock and said 2 o'clock. And added an hour for the East Coast. So
Me too. Well, they're expecting 93% done on corn and 88% done on beans, so we'll see how close they come in.
Yeah, long ways done, and won't have much of an impact on the marketplace, I wouldn't think, one way or the other, would they?
No, not really.
Yeah, okay. So how about then the other thing, that USDA RMA will release, I think not until tomorrow morning, but can be figured pretty quickly, are the numbers for the harvest price crop insurance.
Right. I just ran through them, and I figured them off. Now, I don't have the solid close for today's, but it came out at 749.86, so I would imagine it'll probably be 750 is what I would guess.
And what does that mean for anybody who managed to take a position on that average back in June and July?
Well, you know, the majority of the positions that we had on were 850 put positions with sold calls against them, and actually one sold put below the market. It's been amazing how it's worked because actually, in fact, I just did one this afternoon talking to a fellow. We're trying to determine whether we want to hold it into December expiration or take it off, but it's actually operating just like futures right now. In fact, today it was carrying about a penny more value just because it's some time value that's still there. So great thing. It worked out really, really well for them, and I'm glad that people were willing to do it. You know, it's a lot. That's a lot of difference. We closed at 7:56 today. You know, 8:50 to 7:56, long, long ways.
Yeah, the long ways, and that harvest price protection and the crop insurance will help producers in another way. If I remember correctly, should help them if they came up short crop and were sold ahead in the cash market. That they'll be able to make that up with dollars as opposed to bushels.
That's exactly right, and by doing that strategy, people who actually didn't have the fall price were able to do it. You know, who had opted out on taking fall price and just had done the spring price, they used the strategy and also protected that price. And so, you know, that that certainly has helped. There's no question. So they've turned around and added a dollar back onto their 568 number potentially, and or whatever they sold their grain for, whatever they ended up with after they couldn't produce a crop.
All right. Turn your attention to today's market. Trade should be coming back to more normal as Sandy has passed through the East Coast and traders in that area begin to get back into the marketplace. What'd you find?
Well, it's true. I think the other thing that's bringing some stabilization to the marketplace is just that we are as far harvested as we are. When you looked at the closes today, corn managed to close above the 40-day moving average, beans just at the 10-day moving average, and wheat at the 20-day moving average. Those are good things, and I would expect we're probably going to trade sideways now until we get through the election. The election is the number one thing that's looming over the market at this point in time, and traders' perception of how people may react to however the election comes out. That may be overblown in their minds. None of us truly know for sure, but I think the reality that we have to deal with is what is going on in the outside world after this election is finally behind us. You know, we have more talk about debt ceiling. In fact, we just heard that again. You know, there's just so many things going on. We saw the European Union come out with an unemployment record of 11.6. I mean, that is a new record. They have 18.5 million people out of work, and across all 17 countries now, the youth, which would be anyone under the age of 25, they're carrying a 23.3% unemployment rate. So that's not something that's going away very quickly, and so certainly is causing issues. We see Brazil arguing with Germany because Brazil is very afraid when they bring up they'd like to see more stimulus done, you know, to get the world economy going faster. And Germany, of course, is already pretty heavily indebted into the European Union. So all of that's going to come back after the U.S. elections are behind us.
Yeah, and the other thing in the European Union, I think, is that on the youth, Spain and Greece are carrying more than half of their youth unemployed.
Oh, they are. It's over 25% unemployment in Spain and Greece, just on overall, everybody.
Yeah, across the European Union, right. Over 25%. But Spain and Greece are over 50%, if I read those numbers.
You are absolutely correct. On anybody under 25, it's well over 50%. And so, you know, you can see why there's a lot of pain going on and a lot of issues. And it's life changes is what it is. You know, when you know how it is for us. We've seen our parents grow up and do things a certain way and live a certain lifestyle, and a lot of us hope to be able to do that, and that's certainly the case over there, and now it's quite obvious that that's not going to be the case.
Yeah, and that kind of economic turmoil builds over generations and will keep those that are moving through that at this point, I suppose, from really investing. It might take another 20 years.
That's right. That's right. There's just no question. It's just like, you know, the United States looking at trying to build jobs. It's going to take a long time to get us, if we ever get back to the level of employment that we were at before the recession hit, just because of all of the automation that we have now, robotics, computers taking jobs, those types of things. You know, so the more mechanized we become, the less jobs we need to have available for human beings. Hopefully we won't be totally replaced, but you know, at the same time, it makes it tougher from an employment standpoint. So.
Hey, what did you make of the news from Ukraine that they're reversing their order, and it hadn't been put in place, that on the 15th of this next month, November, they were going to ban the export of wheat, and now they say, no, we have enough, we'll be okay.
Oh, I just think that this is one giant game that's going on, Todd. You know, when you look at the fact that they've been selling from what they call their intervention grain, and that intervention grain is a grain stock that they have to help out parts of their country which are, you know, basically devastated. And they've been selling intervention grain now because people have been starving in some areas of their country due to a lack of wheat for eating. And so I think, you know, it was a very unpopular thing for them to ban exports the last time at the World Trade Board. And so I think right now what we're going to see happen is they won't ban it, but they will be out of the market. I'm pretty bullish wheat between that January and April time frame because I think that at that point in time, they're going to have to come to us. Other countries are going to have to come to us that normally go to Ukraine, and it should be helpful all the way around.
Anything that we didn't pick up that you wanted to make sure we talked about today?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting when you look at what's going on in ethanol. We saw Bunge is idling the Vicksburg, Mississippi plant. You know, Valero had an operating loss in the third quarter of $73 million versus an income of $107 million last year in the third quarter. It begs to make me wonder if, you know, they're saying that the losses are coming because of high corn prices, but primarily because of high inventories of ethanol. But put ourselves back to last year on the third and fourth quarter, and they were overproducing like wild, and blenders were taking it like wild because we knew that the blend credit was going to end at the end of December. So I think all of this is just kind of so let's take it and make it half and half. And if you take 73 and 107 and you look at the shift, they still made a profit between the last 2 years. It's just they really front-loaded the profit last year versus this year. And so I think the ADM giving the money, you know, for food is interesting as they make that hostile grab for the Grain Corp. And there's going to be some very fierce opposition to them doing that. You know, that is one of the largest wheat markets and wheat elevators that there are. And so I think there's just going to be a lot of interesting things going on in our business. And another interesting fact I found was, do you know that it takes 2 tons of what they call tar sand to make just 20 gallons of gasoline?
No.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it? You know, and so as we look at the crude oil prices, that's another thing I think we need to be prepared for. The London crude spread right now has been running right around $23 today. That's the widest that we've seen it, and the only other 2 times I've seen it that wide were back when the Libyan war was going on last year. So I think we better make sure that we've got our seatbelt on when it comes to gas prices once we get through this election, because I think the election will suddenly bring us a boost in crude oil prices again, and I think we'll see a boost in gas prices, which is pretty normal for an election year.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hey,
bye-bye.
That's Jackie Vaik. She's with Stuart Peterson. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon.